Hey, what's up? Andrew Kramer here with VideoCopilot.net, and welcome to a very exciting tutorial. Today, we're going to be taking a look at integrating some 3D animation with some live action footage. We're not using any 3D tracking or match moving. We're going to be using After Effects, and we got Sam Loya, so that's always a good thing. And when he's committing suicide, speculatively, that's also a plus. So let's take a look at the scene. We've got Sam up here on our 3D ledge. We've got the lens flare, and we've got some traffic, and wow. Now, don't worry, he's not going to kill himself because we didn't have the budget, but we did send him to the future. I assume the future is exactly the same. Only difference is there's more cars. Now, I will tell you this, that this video is actually a demo video that we sent to Bruce Willis when Sam Loya was trying out for The Fifth Element. And he was going to be the supreme being or the fifth element, but he didn't want to dye his hair orange. And so there's a whole dispute. And the fact that he was not a woman was not that big of a deal, actually. All right, let's go and get started. This is going to be it's going to be great. So we have some footage of Sam on a green screen. Bam. Look at this. Got some money over here in the corner. That's how much we paid Sam. It was like $5 plus $2. So what we have here is a camera on a dolly, and we're sort of flying over the top of Sam. We've got a track marker there. Now, on the website, we have a little behind-the-scenes video where I take this shovel and I beat Sam to death. But you can also see the other equipment that we used, like this crane and the tripod, and it's also on this dolly, and that's the shot that you end up with. So you can check that out. Go to the website, the blog, and we have the blog show, and there's a couple episodes there. You can check out, close that down. All right. So this is what we're working with. So let's take that footage, drop it onto a new comp. And the first thing we'll do is we'll key out everything else. So we'll choose effect, keying, key light. And we'll take the screen color and we'll click in here. You can hold control so that it'll sort of sample a range of like 5 pixels. And let's see what we got here. It's a little messy. It's not perfect. We'll turn the screen gain up to maybe 110. And that gets rid of a lot of stuff. So that's actually pretty good. Now we are losing a bit of Sam here. He's kind of disappearing, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But, you know, assuming this were like a talented actor, we'd want to fix that. So. All right. Try to focus here for just a minute. Me and Sam, we just had lunch, and I told him I wasn't going to say anything bad about him in the new tutorial. Well, he's not here, so we will say whatever we want. All right, screen matte. Now, the first thing we'll do is we're going to change the replace method from soft color to source. I usually like to do my spill suppression manually if I need to, because sometimes it'll introduce some weird artifacts. Now, I want to go ahead and bring the clip white amount down just a little bit. And you can see that reintroduces the opacity in the area where it was kind of going away. So we just kind of bring that down until that's filled in a little bit better. Now, we might also turn up the clip black amount just to get rid of any residual. And if we change it from final result to screen matte, we can kind of see what that's doing. We're basically looking at the alpha channel, and by adjusting this value, you kind of can get rid of the gray area and so that it's a solid matte. And go back to final result. I like to have a little bit of information on what's going on. Sometimes I don't know, but in this case, I clearly don't. Now, we want to screen pre-blur it, so we'll make it like 1, and that'll just soften the edges a bit. Now, we can also play around with the screen balance. So if we look here closely, it looks pretty good. We're actually at 50, but if you move this around, you can kind of go in between the original edge and, you know, something that's a little bit more extreme. So it helps sometimes to adjust this when you actually have your background so that you kind of blend it. The thing is, key light is actually doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes, and this is a nice way to sort of blend between those. This is looking pretty good. I'm not worried about the little bit of green suppression because, you know, we can take care of that a little bit later. But we do need to get rid of all this junk. What we can do is take the pen tool, and maybe we'll start about here. And we basically want to mask Sam out. So we could take everything out, or we could take Sam out and reverse it. So we'll just create a shape around there so everything kind of goes away. We could hit M, set a keyframe for the path, and then we'll just modify it as the shot goes on. And this doesn't have to be perfect because, you know, the king did a pretty good job of getting rid of most everything. So we just want to make sure to fill it in. You can also set the mask to none so that while you're working, you can actually see what's going on a little bit better. Okay, I think we're in good shape. We'll set that to add, and we'll go ahead and move on to the next few steps. So next I'm gonna go ahead and create a null object. So we'll choose layer, new, null, and we'll leave it as 2D, and this is gonna be our ground track. So hit return to rename layers. Okay, so we wanna track the shot. So I'm gonna go to the beginning of the shot here. We'll select our footage. We'll choose a window, tracker, and then we'll click track motion. Now, we could track the rotation, but for this case, I'm just going to go ahead and track the position since there isn't really much rotation. So in this case, I don't need to. We'll go ahead to the corner of the dolly here, and then we'll just click on this track forward button, and bam, we're motion tracking. Now, we're gonna lose it here. It's gonna go out of the frame. So we'll track it a little bit more. And then I'm gonna move the tracker up to this other point. So I wanna maintain that position, but I'm gonna look at another source for the tracking. Now to do this, we just hold down Alt and then move the tracker. You have to hold down Alt. And then you can see the little plus, our actual track point is right there, even though we're going to be sampling from this point. So go back out and we'll track some more. Okay, when it's done, we'll edit target, make sure we have that null selected, we'll hit OK, and apply. And yes. So now what we have is a null object that's going to stay linked to that position. Very nice. Now, what makes this technique work so well is that the dolly stays exactly the same distance away from the ground, or I should say the crane does. It's looking down and it's staying parallel with the floor. And what that allows us to do is cheat a 3D camera move. So let me show you how that works. What I'm going to do is hit F4. I'm going to make our ground track layer a 3D layer. And when I do that, nothing changes. It's just still right there on the floor. Then I'm going to create a new camera. Next, I'm going to get a glass of water because I'm thirsty. You can skip that step. Preset, we're going to use 24 millimeter, pretty close to what we shot with, and we'll hit OK. Now, I'm going to go to the beginning of the animation. Now, the next step is kind of important. What I want to do is parent my camera to the tracking data. But the tracking data is sort of backwards for a camera. So what I need to do is hit U. That brings up the position. Better yet, we'll just bring down all of the transform options. So I have position, and I also have anchor point. So what I want to do is copy the position into the anchor point setting. So I'll select the name position. That selects all of our keyframes. We'll choose edit, copy, and then we'll just shut that off. Select anchor point, edit, paste. And I'm still at the zero frame point. So now when I parent the camera to that ground track layer, we can actually see a camera that's moving properly in 3D space. Now to show you, I'm just gonna bring out some 3D layers. So I have this concrete layer, we'll bring it out, we'll make it 3D, and because the position of the Z value is at zero, that's where Sam's feet are, because we tracked a point that was on the ground, and the ground is always gonna stay at zero in this particular case. So we'll move this right about there. We'll go ahead and mask off an edge for him to stand on. And let's go ahead and add a quick wall. So we'll bring this out, just kind of a picture of a wall, and we'll make it 3D. And I'm probably just gonna move it right to the front here. And let's change it so that, line it up right about there. And let's move the anchor point with the pan behind tool up to the edge. And then we'll take the rotation tool and rotate on the X axis, and we'll rotate it down like that. Let's go ahead, put this beneath the concrete layer. So now it's right in front of it. And maybe we'll duplicate it and we'll put it behind it. I don't know why. It's a really narrow building. But if we look at the shot now, we almost have this, you know, 3D building. Let's see, I wanna move this back a little bit. Move our wall back a bit. And I can probably scale it up too, just to give you a little bit more perspective. And you can see here that we have sort of a 3D looking scene. Now we want this to be even more impressive than just using 2D pictures, although this is a great solution, and we actually have a tutorial called 3D City on the website, and it's got a lot of great information about manipulating 2D pictures to create some pretty impressive looking buildings. So you could essentially do this entirely in After Effects, but I want to kind of show you the workflow and some of the other cool things that you can do. So this is the basic idea. Let's go and take it to the next level, literally, because it's going to be like 11 stories. All right, I'm just going to delete the concrete layer there. So we have a ground track. Now we have a very important element that's about to come in, and that is a matte painting of the ground, of the city street down below. And the important thing here is that I want to composite the street in After Effects, but I want to create the 3D buildings in a 3D program. So the important reason why we do this now, and I bring this into my comp, is I want to position the matte painting in 3D space before I move into my 3D application so that I can build my buildings relative to the distance of the street. So I'm going to move this down, maybe scale it up a bit. Now if we look at the top view, we can see we have a camera right here, we have our ground layer, and we have our matte painting down here. So we have the camera, the ground, and the matte painting. So we could take the matte painting and maybe just move it down further, but either way, that's how far away the building's going to be. So we'll go back to the active camera, zoom in here a bit. I'll go and just use one for now. Now, before we jump into the 3D stuff, let's come over here to Photoshop and take a look at the matte painting and the workflow there. So basically, I started out with a picture and I positioned it so that it was kind of a straight, more easy to work with image. And slowly, I began to paint out some of the cars. So, you know, you just start using the clone tool and you basically just want to start removing stuff. And you can do that by taking the clone tool and you basically zoom in, you sample part of the street that's unaffected, hold down Alt, click, and then we just come over here to the car and we sort of just kind of paint it out. And, you know, it just takes time, you know. And by the end of it, you have something like this, and then you can copy that, extend it, you know, you kind of paint these little grates in different places so it looks like there's a lot going on. But ultimately, we want it to be a flat area. And we can always add like mailboxes and street lights and a bunch of other stuff. But in this case, I just kind of try to keep it simple. okay, back inside of After Effects, I want to export my camera and my track layer and my matte painting down at the bottom into a 3D program for reference. So we're going to be using a very cool script that we can find online. Search for AE3D. And it's an amazing little script. And you basically download it. And we're going to load it up into After Effects and allows you to export your data to various 3D programs. Now, there are other ways to export your data from After Effects to 3D programs. So you can always search for AE to, you know, Cinema 4D, or AE to, you know, DAZ 3D Deluxe 2001, or whatever program is out there. So very good. And Blender also has a really cool one too. So there's plenty of 3D tools out there. This one just happens to be very useful and uses 3D Max, which we'll be sort of taking a look at. So I'm going to choose File, Script, Run, Script. We're going to go ahead and open it and create some cool options. And what I'm going to do is choose 3D Max. I'm going to go into the options and we're going to set the scale to 1 to 10. We'll close that. And I want to select all of the important things. I'm going to take the camera, the ground track, and the matte painting. And those are the three things that I'm going to need. So we'll choose export here. Takes a moment and it's done. So then we're going to jump over here into 3D Studio Max. Okay, so I know there's a lot of 3D programs out there like Cinema 4D and Maya, and I really try to keep my 3D integration very generic so that you can apply it to other programs. So I know there's going to be some people saying that, oh, I use After Effects with Cinema 4D, or I use After Effects with Blender. So hopefully they're generic enough that you can find the information you need. And then obviously there's going to be someone that's saying, oh, I use 3D Max, but you know, I use Combustion for compositing. Can you show me the After Effects stuff in Combustion? Absolutely. All right, let's go and get started. We're in 3D Max here, and I'm going to bring in that script that creates our camera and the null object. So we'll drop that in, and automatically we can see we have a camera, we have the null object that's at the ground plane where Sam is standing, and then we also have another null object that represents where the street level is. So our buildings need to go from the bottom of Sam's feet all the way down to the street level. Now, we could make a building, we could model a building, or we could buy a building, or we could make like we're buying a building. But what I did is actually designed a single level of a building that we're going to use for this tutorial. So we'll bring that in. It should be part of the download as well. And let's see. We'll take a quick look at it. It's basically a two-sided building. Let's go edged faces there. And you can see it's just, you know, it's partial. But it should be everything that we need for this tutorial. So we'll select the building really quick. Come over here. We're going to affect the pivot center to the object. Then we'll uncheck affect pivot. And then we're going to move the building. So right click and we're going to move it over here. And let's change the perspective to look through the camera. So now if we move forward to the end here, we can see our building. I'm going to go ahead, move it up here, maybe slide it over. Now, if we look at the After Effects project, at the end of the animation, we can see Sam's feet are just at the edge. So we want to try to match that. So if I move the building back just a bit, something like that should be good. So we can kind of look at the animation. Pretty good. Now, we'll zoom in here. The top of the building is lined up with that null object. So that's the ground level. But I also want to go ahead and duplicate our building. But before we do that, let's go ahead and add some textures and make it look, you know, halfway decent. So we'll hit P, select the building, and let's rotate around to the front here. And what I want to do is go over here to the modify, and we're in the editable poly mode. So I'll go ahead and take the face selector, hit Control A, which selects all of the faces. And we want to come down here to the bottom where we have set ID. And this is basically a way to say, you know, this is a wall, this is a glass window, you know, this is a pillar. It allows you to select faces and designate them in a certain way. So we're going to set the ID to 1, which is already set. but I also want to give an ID for the windows. So we'll show the edged faces. And we'll control click on all of these window faces. And we'll set the ID to 2. And you want to go ahead and do it for all of the windows. Now, the other thing we can do is select one window randomly and set the ID to 3. And what that's going to allow us to do is create a window that's illuminated as if, somebody's in there. So now that we've done that, we'll go ahead, we'll go out of the edged faces, Alt-W here, and then I'll hit M, and then we bring up the material editor. Now, I also have a simple tiled texture that we can drop right onto the material, and then we can take that material and apply it to our building. So now it has a bit of a texture. Now, if I click on the standard type material, I can change it to a multi sub-object material. Then we hit OK. We're going to keep the old material as a sub-material. And then what we can do is, now that we have the IDs set up, we can go into the second slot, click on that material, change the color to maybe, a dark color, maybe add some reflectivity, maybe a little specularity, doesn't really matter for now. And for the third slot, we'll go in there, we'll turn on the self-illumination, and, just give it a little bit of a warm glow. We'll hit OK. We can close that. So now we can see we have something happening here. It's starting to look pretty good. So these are just the basic ideas, and you can, take it to the next level and, work on your building. So we'll go back to the camera, and I want to duplicate, by the way, I need to come out of the edit mode, and I want to duplicate the building. So if we hold down shift, drag it down about right there, we're going to make a copy. Let's say we'll make 3 copies. We'll hit OK. So now the building goes all the way down, but does it line up with the bottom? It actually goes past it. Now, we could take this last building and delete it, and maybe just have 3 stories, or we could take all of the buildings and scale them down. We'll move them so that they're right between the ground and the top. And then I'll go ahead and move the building back into place where Sam's feet are going to be standing. And we can cheat this some more. We could, we could scale the building, make it a little bit thicker, move it over about right there, something like that. Now, the next thing we want to do is duplicate the building. So we'll hold down shift again. We can slide it over, copy it. We can make a few more buildings this way. And we probably want to rotate them so that the finished sides are facing the camera. And then we can hold down shift, duplicate it again. We could put 2 buildings together so it looks like one building, so that they don't all look exactly the same. Or we could delete the top off of one of the buildings so that we have, some varied levels. Or you could be really clever and, model a bunch of buildings, but that's crazy if you ask me. So this is looking pretty good. So we want to add a couple of lights. We'll come over here. We'll add, a standard Omni light. Maybe move it around a bit. Maybe another one over here. Now we probably want to turn on the shadows. So we'll select the light. Turn on, shadows. We could do ray trace shadows for both of them. And that'll make nice, hard edge. Okay, so I've added a few more lights, some with shadows, some without shadows, and this should look pretty good. Now, we have an alpha channel built in, and I want to go ahead and render out the sequence. So we go to the render settings. We want to set the active range, 720p. We want to set a file output, probably a TIFF. We'll make it 16-bit, store the alpha channel, OK, and we'll click Save. So we'll render that out, and we just click render right here. Now, by the way, you want to make sure that you have your renderer set up, and I probably should have mentioned this earlier, but you probably want to make sure that your renderer is set to mental ray instead of the default scan line, and the mental ray materials are all tied in. So then we'll render that out, and then we want to render another pass, an ambient occlusion pass. So to do that, hit M. We want to create a new material. So we'll click standard. We're going to go to the mental ray material, and we're going to click on the surface, and we're going to add an ambient occlusion map. Now we need to turn the samples up to maybe 45, the spread to 1, and the max distance, we'll set that to 50, and then we'll play with that so that you can see what it's doing. Now I'm going to come over here to the processing, and we're going to change the material override. And we're going to basically say that I want all the materials to render using this one material. So if we then take a look, F9 will preview it without actually saving the frame. So here we can see sort of a nice ambient occlusion pass where as the model gets closer to the edges, we get a little bit of shading, and it just helps create contact at the places where the mesh kind of comes together. And another cool thing that it does is just creates kind of a soft lighting effect. So if we look at the beginning here, let's hit F9. You can see that we have a little bit of soft shadows happening. So that's really nice. Now we can turn up the max distance, or we could turn it down to say 10. And if we preview that, F9, you can see that it's a lot tighter. And sometimes that's all you need. Maybe you have other lighting going on and you just want a little bit of contact. That's a great way to do it. Or we could turn it up higher, maybe 150, and create a really soft result. Okay, so pretty cool. I'm probably just gonna have it set to about, 75, and that way it'll render nice and fast. So then we'll go back in here, set the file to be building_AO, ambient occlusion, and we'll save that out and re-render it again. So we have sort of two passes that we're gonna be using. And by the way, for the ambient occlusion, you wanna go ahead in your environment settings, make sure the background color is white. And then it will render out properly. And then when we use the certain transfer modes, we'll get the result that we're after. I think that's everything you need to know in 3D Studio Max. But wait, there's more. I also want to show people who use Cinema 4D how to get started in this same way. Now, I was able to find a cool script by Paul Tursley that actually allows you to export your After Effects stuff to Cinema 4D. So check this out. You can download it. You can do a quick search for AE to Cinema 4D and find the information for that. So once in Cinema 4D, we can go ahead, take that building model. I left it in a format that will be universal with most 3D apps. So we just bring it in there and we say, okay. There it is, it's on its side, so we'll want to rotate that. And another thing I want to do is it comes in with some weird smoothing, so we'll go over here to this tab and we'll set the angle down to 0. And that way it'll just be flat, and that's what we want. So kind of just walk through the same things that we just did in 3D Max, and we'll take a look at them here. So we can create a couple new materials. I can take this concrete texture, drop it into the texture slot, and we can just apply that to everything. And then for the windows, let's see, we can do the edit mode here and then click on the faces. I think hold down shift, or let's see, yeah, shift. And we'll create a new material. We'll just make it black and we'll drop that on there. And it kills our other material, but it's actually still there. So we'll go back to the object selecting, and we'll do a quick render. And, that's the basic idea. We could copy-paste it. So we basically just select it, Control C, Control V, and we can make multiple levels. Just like in 3D Max, and you can turn on some of the windows with lighting. I think there's a really cool. I see if you double click on the material, you can come down here to glow or illuminance and create sort of a bright material. It's really cool. Now in the rendering side of it, click on the rendered thing here. We want to add an ambient occlusion pass. We can set the rays to be maybe 50 and the samples from 10 to maybe 40. And that should render pretty quickly. Let's also add a quick light. So we'll just bring that in. Maybe turn on the shadows. Let's see, we'll do shadow map. Let's move this over. And by the way, I've got my settings all set up like 3D Max, so like all my controls work very nice. And maybe we take this, we just create another building really quick. And we'll zoom in here. Now we've got that ambient occlusion on, and we'll just do a quick preview. And starting to look nice. I mean, just add a few more lights to kind of balance the scene out. But it definitely does a nice job of rendering. Now the other thing in the render settings, we'll go into the general, or the output I should say, and we'll do 1280 by 720. We'll make it 24 frames per second. And then there's some other multi-pass options you can set when you're actually rendering it out. So let's see, save. You can set this all up, include the alpha channel. And for the multi-pass stuff that will come out in that format, and then the compositing project, you can set it up for After Effects, and it'll include all of the levels and everything already put together. So I won't get into that, but only because it does such a good job that I would just make it worse. But that's the bottom line, Control R. I'm getting a lot more familiar with Cinema 4D, and I've been digging it. I've been able to think about what I want to do, and for the most part, I've been able to pull it off, relatively quickly. So that's always a good thing. All right, so we're back in After Effects, and I'm excited because we've done all this work, and we haven't seen anything yet. So finally, we have some stuff to composite, and I've imported our three sequences. I've interpreted the settings so that they come in at 24 frames per second, and we'll hit OK. And that matches our footage. So we have our building. We'll bring that out above our matte painting. And look at this. Sam is on a building. It's great. And we have the ambient occlusion pass. We could bring that out. We could set the transfer mode to multiply. And it may be hard to see. And in fact, what I should do is take our two passes and pre-compose them. So we'll choose layer, pre-compose, and we'll call this the building composite. Okay, and we'll double click on it. And let's do some work here. So first we'll take our building and let's turn the brightness up a bit with a curves adjustment. So we'll add that curves, punch it up a bit here. And that ambient occlusion really gives us some nice detail around the edges. So now the other thing I want to do is add our alpha back in, because with that ambient occlusion pass, we no longer have an alpha channel. So if we take our building footage, duplicate it, Control D, put it on top, and see, it does have an alpha channel. It has transparency built in. And what I'll do is set that building to the mode of stencil alpha. And what that does is basically cuts everything beneath it out of the picture. So pretty simple and pretty nice. Now, one thing that can come up is we can start to see a little bit of a white edge around our alpha. And what we can do is just create a black solid, put it at the bottom. And what that will do is basically get rid of that white blending with the empty pixels. And it's basically the ambient occlusion pass by itself is white. And what it'll do is counteract the ambient occlusion white from fringing over that edge. So you can kind of see the difference there. And our alpha channel is intact. So we have our building composite. We'll close that. And now we're back in our main comp. Now, I probably want to, you know, color correct this a little bit. So we'll go to the curves. Maybe we'll go for, you know, something a little darker. Now, I may want to add some shadows to Sam and maybe color correct him also for that matter. So let's just add a quick curves adjustment with a tint adjustment right there at the bottom. It's I think it's cut off there, but quick tint, maybe, you know, 40%. We'll put it above the curves. And we just want to add a little contrast and try to match our scene a little bit. Now we'll go to the red channel and bring the red down a bit. And maybe to the blue channel. Just punch it up a bit. Just try to match it as best you can. Also, we want it to be a bit darker. You know, and obviously, this is a bit stylistic, but you want to try to match your scene as best as possible. Now, I also want to add some shadows to our ledge here. So let me show you how we would do that. Let's create a black solid. We'll put it below the SAM footage, hit F4, make it a 3D layer. And basically, what we want to do is overlap it with the ledge. We'll shut it off. And we're just going to create a shape around the ledge. And then we're going to create our shadow. So the shadow would probably be something like this. And we'll hit M. Now we'll take that second mask and make it first. And so we're adding the first part, and then we're going to subtract the second part and then set it to invert so that we just have that area where his shadow is. Now, we'll go ahead and feather that out a bit. Maybe change F4, the transfer mode, to color burn, or maybe classic color burn, and then hit T, and we'll just lower the opacity of that clip. So now we have something like this. Now, we may need to adjust our mask a little bit, that second mask, and maybe give it like a 2-pixel feather. Take a look at that here. Something like that. And remember, since we're not dealing with exact values, you may want to tweak that and maybe, you know, keyframe it or something like that so it stays lined up with that edge. But most of the work should already be done by our tracking data. So you can see we have, you know, a little shadow integrated. And another thing we may want to do is add a little bit of a glow to our window. So we'll open up the building composite. Let's create an adjustment layer. We'll put it below the alpha, the stencil alpha that we added, and we'll add a quick stylize glow. And, you know, it's a little bit bright. We can bring it down a touch. We can even change the color to the AB color down here. Maybe something a little warmer. Something like that. So we'll go and go back to our comp here. Okay, so now I want to start working on the traffic down below. So let's pre-compose our matte painting. We'll choose layer, pre-compose, and we'll call this, you know, street. We'll move, we'll leave all the attributes. We'll hit OK. So when we double-click on it, it'll be the original size of the comp. Now, if we go into the comp settings, remember, our street wasn't quite long enough. So let's turn this up to maybe 2800. And we'll slide this over, we'll duplicate it, and we'll slide the copy over. Let's just make sure that that's long enough. And it's pretty close. We'll move it over there. I would say that's pretty close. This should work for now. So we'll go back into the street comp. Let's figure a way to blend these together. So we might, we'll put this on top. Something like that, and go back. Okay, so that looks pretty good, and we'll work on the color correction in just a moment, but let's jump back into the street comp, and I need to add some cars and some lights, and we just want to add some activity down there. If anyone came to the presentation in LA, you know, there's this idea I had for this collection
of pre-keyed hobos that you could composite into the shot. You know, they're walking around, maybe they have a little fire. It's a pretty good idea. So think about that. What I actually have now is some cars that were created, you know, in Photoshop. Got a little optical flares on there that I rendered out of After Effects, and we got some lighting that are part of this project, so you can check those out and build your own. Now, what I'm going to do is bring these cars out. So we'll just bring out all the cars right on top. Now, they're perfectly sized because they come from this image, and we just want to move the traffic around. So we'll just randomly sort of put the cars in different places. Now, you could even render out a particle system that randomly, you know, varied the speed and, you know, had the cars driving all around. You can even maybe add some optical flares to flicker the lights or, you know, whatever. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to select the cars, hit Control D, and then we're going to move them over, and then we're going to hit Control D again and move those cars over. So we're sort of manually adding a bunch of traffic. And then what we can do is we can create a null object, take all the cars, parent them to the null object, and then we can just sort of animate this null object. So we'll hit P, we'll go to the beginning here, we'll hit P, set a keyframe for the position, we'll move forward, and then we'll just slide the traffic. So, you know, you want to play with that to get the speed right. You don't want them to be too fast, you don't want them to be too slow. But then what you can do is duplicate more of the cars, slide those over so that when the cars in front go off of the frame, there'll be more cars to follow. And then to really make it look good, you want to go into, you know, variable individual cars and keyframe the position as well. And now there's expressions and other things that you could do, but I figured this would be the simplest way to demonstrate this for the tutorial. So what I've done is I've just self-animated a few of the cars so that there's a little bit of randomness going on. So like this car is a little bit faster. We'll keyframe the position so that it speeds up quicker than the other cars. But, you know, there's expressions and other things you can do, but this is just the simplest, easy, manual way to do it for the tutorial. So excuse me for being lazy. Okay, so we look at this. We have the mighty traffic down beneath. We probably want to add some color correction, so play with that a little bit there. Maybe, you know, just slide this around. Now, you probably want to make it pretty dark since it's so far away and it's nighttime, but, you know, this is where you can also just take a little bit of, creative license and just make it look however you want it to look. And, that's looking pretty good. Now, here's a step you don't have to do, but hey, if you want to add some lens flares, you know, you should. We're going to add a light, and we'll make it green. We'll hit OK, point light there. And we can't quite see it, but it is affecting our ground layer. So we'll take our matte painting, hit AA, turn the accept lights to off, and that way it won't be affected. Then we'll take our light, hit P, and we're going to set the Z position to 0. And that way, one, we can see it, but also it'll be in line with the top of the building. So maybe it's a light, a safety light on the outside of this building. We'll create a new solid. This will be our optical flares layer. We're going to be using a plugin by Video Copilot called Optical Flares. We'll click on that. And we'll go into the options here. Now, we could use this preset, or we could come over here to the preset browser, and we've got a cool one in here called the 50 millimeter prime is pretty nice. Maybe the Sanker 16. Let's try this one out. We'll hit OK. We'll set the position mode to track lights, and guess what? That's about it. All we have to do, we can either change the render mode to on transparent or just change the mode here to screen. Now I'm thinking that light is a little green, so let's hit AA. We'll bring the saturation out of the light a bit. And, you know, one thing that you can do that, you know, you don't have to do, but if we color correct our lens flare with a curves adjustment or something, we can give it a little bit more punch. You know, and maybe even add a touch of flicker, maybe, you know, 35, and just turn that up a little bit so that the light just has a little bit of life there to it. We can take a look. You know, we could duplicate the light, and, you know, we could add, you know, another light maybe on the building across the way. I mean, this is just insane. Like, why do you need these lens flares? They're unnecessary. They look cool, that's why. You know, we could go in here, we could play around with some of the other presets, like this JJ one's really cool. You know, tons of elements, lots of stuff going on. We'll hit OK. Now this one's a bit bright, so let's bring the brightness down a touch. You know, this is the part where you can start having fun and just experiment with some different colors and some different looks. It's a lot of fun. I think that's it. I think we've covered a lot of things. Now, obviously, we have the 3D cars flying in the other example, and all you need to do there is just move some of the cars in Z space inside of the main comp that includes the camera, and then you actually have cars flying around. And of course, be sure to visit the website. We've got cool stuff happening on the blog, lots of cool activity in the forum. And if you want to help support the site and add some cool lens flares, we also have a great plugin, Optical Flares. And, you know, there's just a lot of cool presets and just a lot of cool uses for that plugin. And not only that, but we have some other cool tools like Action Essentials 2 for adding some explosions and blood and all that other amazing stuff. So anyway, my name is Andrew Kramer. My commercial's done. The tutorial's done. I'm going to get some dinner. But I got to tell you, this has been a blast. I love doing these really in-depth, you know, thorough tutorials. So Andrew Kramer here. We'll talk to you later.